The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Could there be an awakening in America on transgender issues? There is in Great Britain. There is an awakening occurring in Great Britain. They're actually beginning to listen to the science in Great Britain and understanding there is no scientific evidence for transgenderism. And one of the country's, Great Britain's, largest transgender clinics is probably going to shut down. Finland has had an awakening. Sweden has had an awakening concerning transgenderism. It has not happened here in America yet. In fact, our president, Joe Biden, on numerous occasions has espoused the wonders of transgenderism, openly denying the science. Is it possible there is the beginning of an awakening here? Well, last night on 60 Minutes, no, I don't watch 60 Minutes anymore. You can't stomach it. But last night on 60 Minutes, they ran a segment on transgender issues. Okay, that doesn't surprise me at all. But what shocks me is that a major portion of the 60-minute segment on transgenderism featured transgender individuals who realized, I made a terrible mistake. Yeah. Yeah, they featured individuals who went through the transition or began the transition from one gender to another and realized, I have made a horrible mistake, and they decided to reverse. This is 60 Minutes admitting a lot of people are sorry that they did it. Quote, one of the transgender advocates said the fact that so many transgender individuals had decided to detransition was proof that more resources were needed for trans individuals, not fewer. Now, that was the spin at the beginning of the program. Yeah, let me quote that again. One of the transgender advocates said that the fact that so many transgender individuals had decided to detransition, we have been told now for years, they don't do that, never do. No, no, no. No, once they transition, once the guy becomes a girl, girl becomes a guy, oh, no. No, they're happy, they're more fulfilled. No. Nope, 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 nope. So again, let me read the sentence. One of the transgender advocates said the fact that so many transgender individuals had decided to detransition was proof that more resources were needed for trans individuals, not fewer. In other words, we just want more money, more money, more money. That's always the liberal answer. Then it begins giving examples. Grace Ledinsky Smith, who decided, I'm reading from the story, who decided to transition in her early 20s and later decided to reverse course, said that the amount of questions she was asked by healthcare professionals prior to her decision to take hormones was minimal. Now, this is what's happened in Great Britain with this huge lawsuit at the Tavistock facility in Great Britain. We found out in court, because of sworn testimony, that young people, minors, were coming in And they were asked almost no questions. They got almost no counseling. They were just given, they were given hormones. They were given shots. It even began transitional surgery without really being counseled sufficiently. So Leslie Stahl, one of the 60-minute correspondents, interviewed this Grace Ludinsky Smith. Leslie Stahl said, quote, "Did the therapist not question you about how deep the feeling was and what it was stemming from?" The girl, Grace, she didn't go into what my gender dysphoria might have been stemming from. "We only did a few sessions," Leslie Stahl. Because she was over 18 and didn't need parental consent, she said she merely signed an informed consent form at a clinic and got hormone shots. Grace says, "They asked me, so why do you want to go on testosterone? And I said, well, being a woman just isn't working for me anymore. And they said, okay." Leslie Stahl, "So that was it? You got your prescription for testosterone?" Grace, "Uh-huh, yep." Leslie Stahl is the narrator. "Just 4 months after she started testosterone, she says she was approved for a mastectomy. She told us that was traumatic. You know, I'm kind of surprised because based on everything you've said up to now, I would have thought that you would have had a great sense of relief." Grace, the young woman, "I started to have a really disturbing sense that like a part of my body was missing, almost a ghost limb feeling about being like there's something that should be there. And the feeling really surprised me, but it was really hard to deny." Narrator, "And so she detransitioned by going off testosterone and then went back to the clinic. And she says, complained to the doctor that the process didn't follow guidelines." Grace, the patient, "I can't believe that I transitioned and detransitioned, including hormones and surgery, in the course of like, well, less than a year. It is completely crazy." The story goes on. Dr. Laura Edwards Leeper, the first psychologist at the first major youth gender clinic in the U.S., said that she was greatly concerned with where the field has been going. "I feel like what is happening is unethical and irresponsible. Everyone is very scared to speak up because we're afraid of not being seen as being affirming or being supportive of these young people or doing something to hurt the trans community. But even some of the providers are trans themselves and share these very same concerns." Another young transgender individual that 60 Minutes interviewed said that they feel like they didn't get enough pushback on transitioning. "I went to like 2 appointments. After the second one, I had like my letter to go get on cross sex hormones. I had never really been suicidal before I had my breast augmentation. But about a week afterwards, I wanted to like kill myself." This is someone who went from boy to girl. Evidently, a good part of the 60 Minutes interview was young people who were pressured into transitioning. Could there be an awakening in America such as the awakenings happening in Great Britain, Sweden, Finland, and some other countries about transgenderism? Now, you and I know that the settled science says there's no such thing as transgenderism. Transgenderism, we are told, is a situation where a male is, as an accident of nature, born in a female body, or a female is an accident of nature born in a male body. They're really a male born in a female body. They're really a female born in a male body. And therefore, the only way they can be natural and whole is to transition to the other gender. Now, there is no science to prove that. None. There is sexual dysphoria, which is just confusion. It's confusion about gender. And that's not all that unusual. And we know, because you folks are smarter than the average bear, that if young people who are confused about their gender are just left alone, they're not given hormones, they're not given surgery, and so forth, by the time they get to somewhere between 18 to 20, 80 to 90% of them will revert back to their birth gender. 80 to 90% will revert back to their birth gender. That's what science tells us. But our whacked out scientific and medical community in America says, oh, well, they're transgender. We've got to give them hormones, and they'll never be healthy. They'll never be whole. They'll never be happy unless we help them transition. So we're going to give them hormones to stop puberty, and then we're going to have surgery. Okay. That's abuse. Huge trial in Great Britain came to that conclusion. A young woman took the Tavistock Clinic in Great Britain, the largest transgender clinic in Great Britain, took them to court because they transitioned her. And what she said was, I was too young to give consent. I didn't know what I was doing. I was confused about my gender. I went to get help. I didn't get help. I got surgery. And she won. And there is an awakening in Great Britain because of the scientific testimony in that trial. Same thing is happening in Sweden. Same thing is happening in Finland. It has not happened in America yet. And as I said before the break, even the President of the United States is a proponent of something with no scientific foundation whatsoever, transgenderism. He said on several occasions to transgender people, I got your back. I got your back. Last night, 60 Minutes ran an explosive segment interviewing young people who went through the transition and realized it was a terrible mistake and de-transitioned. They were at different stages of transitioning, hormones, surgery, and so forth. And 60 Minutes interviewed several of these young people who said, they didn't even counsel me. I had 3 appointments. And I said, I'm a boy. I think I want to be a girl. Okay. Well, let's give you some hormones. Leslie Stahl, who did the interview, was shocked. Let's see. No, I already read that. I'm not going to read that again. But Leslie Stahl was shocked that this Grace Ludinsky Smith didn't receive more extensive counseling for something that was so absolutely life-threatening. And then they interviewed Dr. Laura Edwards Leeper. Quote, the first psychologist at the first major youth gender clinic in the U.S. And in the interview, she said she was, quote, greatly concerned with where the field has been going. Again, quoting, this is Dr. Laura Edwards Leeper, the first psychologist at the first major youth clinic in the U.S. Quote, I feel like what is happening is unethical and irresponsible. Everyone is very scared to speak up. Listen to this. Because we're afraid of not being seen as being affirming or being supportive of these young people or doing something to hurt the trans community. She is admitting that doctors and professionals in the whole trans field are afraid. They see that it's wrong, but they're afraid to say something. Quote, everyone is very scared to speak up because we're afraid of not being seen as being affirming or being supportive of these young people or doing something to hurt the trans community. What she is implying is that doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists are harming their patients, knowingly so, because they're afraid of, quote, hurting the trans community. She goes on, but even some of the providers are trans themselves, and they share these concerns. Continuing, other young transgender individuals that 60 Minutes interviewed said that they felt like they didn't get enough pushback on transitioning. This is a quote from Garrett. Quote, I went for 2 appointments, and after the second one I had, like my letter to go get on cross-sex hormones. Garrett went from taking hormones to getting his testicles removed in 3 months. 3 months. From the first time he went to one of these gender clinics, 3 months he started taking cross-sex hormones and surgically had his testicles removed. 3 months. Later got a breast augmentation and felt significantly worse afterward. I had never really been suicidal before until I had my breast augmentation, Garrett said. And about a week afterwards, I wanted to, like, actually kill myself. Like, I had a plan and I was going to do it, but I just kept thinking about, like, my family to stop myself. It kind of felt like, how am I ever going to feel normal again like other guys? That was Garrett, who had sex reassignment surgery, and because of that, felt like suicide. Another individual named Daisy said that everything was great in the beginning while going through the transitioning steps, but that it was followed by a feeling of being incomplete. Quote, after every step that you take, every milestone, it feels like $1 million. When I got the top surgery, I was elated. When I changed my name, I was elated. But when everything that I had set out to do was done, I still felt so incomplete. Didn't bring happiness, didn't bring fulfillment. Now, does this signal some kind of awakening in America? Does it signal that? We can only hope that the medical community, the scientific community here in America, will actually believe their own science on the transgender issue and on same-sex attraction and so forth. We can only hope. And then there is this. This whole story is disturbing, but the end of the story is the most disturbing. And here it is. Headline, Department of Education treats New York City's youngest students to virtual drag queen story hour. Yeah. Here's the story. It's a whole new curriculum for New York City's tots. ABCs, 1-2-3s, and he-to-she's. The City Department of Education has been treating kids age 3-7 to a surprise drag queen story hour in a remote learning program it recommends as supplemental material for students stuck at home amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Little Miss Hot Mess, a San Francisco-based drag queen performer, shimmies her way through a dramatic reading of her picture book. The hips on the drag queen go swish, swish, swish. It's a takeoff on the wheels and the bus go round, round, round. Well, no, this is being presented to children 3-7. In New York City, sanctioned by the Department of Education, The picture book is The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, Swish, Swish. Quote, flaunting glittery makeup, a huge wig, and a padded bosom to match, the cross-dressing author coaches children to, quote, wriggle your shoulders, brush on some makeup, and flash imaginary bling, all to the tune of the wheels on the bus go round and round. The drag queen begins to giggle and says, I think we might have some drag queens in training on our hands. Yeah, children 3 to 7 in New York City, sanctioned by the Department of Education. Quote, the book features 9 fabulous queens, some with gender-bending names like Jacqueline Jill. No, I'm not even going to read that name. Children wouldn't understand it, but I do. Cinderfella, who sports long blue hair along with a luxuriant mustache. She says, if some of those names sound a little bit silly to you, you're right. Little Miss Hot Mess giggles. To close, she blows the kids a kiss and advises them to be bold, shine bright, and always act with bravery. Again, this was being featured in virtual online classes for young people. This is supplemental, recommended by the Department of Education in New York City. Taxpayer-funded. Okay, here is the part that just really gets to me. The performance, when revealed by local press, drew outrage this week on social media. But the Department of Education defended it. Department of Education spokesperson Sarah Casanova said, quote, drag is a celebration of self-expression and creativity, a fun optional resource to support learning from home. So evidently, the Department of Education received a lot of pushback and even anger on social media, but the Department of Education is defending it. And again, let me read an official statement from the Department of Education, New York City. Drag is a celebration of self-expression and creativity, a fun optional resource to support learning from home. And then here's the part that blew my mind. And I quote from the Department of Education in New York City. Quote, the Department of Education has not received any complaints from families. Now, if I take this at face value and assume that they're telling the truth, this online virtual supplemental resource has been provided to all of the children, younger children, in New York City public schools for their online learning, and not one parent has complained. Not one family has complained. Not one. I suppose, knowing what we know about how liberal and left-leaning New York City has become, I guess we should not be surprised. But if I'm not surprised, I'm heartbroken. Not one parent speaking up concerning drag queen story hour. We are stealing our children's innocence. Stealing. We're robbing our children of their innocence. unbelievably sad.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.